Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, my full review of last night's Impact Wrestling television show. On ProWrestling.net today, John Moore's full review of Impact Wrestling. My Impact Wrestling hit list will be available. Plus, John and I are going to get together for .net Weekly, and we will be discussing a lot of Impact Wrestling. We'll be running through the news of the week and then spending the back half of the show kind of discussing where we feel Impact is at. What's positive, what's negative at this point about the Impact Wrestling television product as we inch closer to the Slammiversary pay-per-view in July. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Click into that sign-up area. Three different pricing options available. I'm going to make it simple, though. Listen to the Jim Ross podcast, the Ross Report podcast this week. I'm one of the guests on the show, along with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. During my segment on the show, you will hear me list a coupon code. That coupon code is going to knock $6.50 off your first month. You're going to get 1 month of .NET membership for $1. All you have to do is listen to the Ross Report podcast at podcastone.com. Get that coupon code, enter it, become a member for just $1 for 1 month. We would love to have you on board. You will hear all of our exclusive audio content, including today's .NET Weekly audio show, all of our television show reviews. If you enjoy what I'm doing here for Impact, know that I do this on a weekly basis for the .NET members. And everything on the site is ad-free once you become a member. Again, listen, check out the Ross Report podcast for details on that coupon code. It's podcastone.com, the Ross Report. All right, as far as Impact goes, I thought this was a good, solid addition. There are some things that I feel like they could be doing a better job of, which we'll get into. But I did think that we opened with a good match, we closed with a good match, and that's the thing that's kind of jumping out. I'm not one of those people who feels like it has to be all good wrestling all the time or I don't enjoy it. I like story, I like the storylines and the promos and everything about pro wrestling, but it is one of the things that was kind of lacking from the first batch of tapings under Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel was just a good quality in-ring action. It stood out when Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards were on the show. When they would have a match together. They're terrific at what they do, but there just wasn't enough of that type of good quality in-ring action, and we got more of that on this week's show than perhaps on any show so far of the Jarrett and Mantel era, and it really did help things out. Let's work our way through it. We get the opening where they recapped last week, including the appearances of D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage, NFL players. Boy, they got nothing out of that. They aired it on draft night, and it just didn't seem like they really, viewership was way down, of course, going opposite the NFL draft, no surprise there. But I just questioned the decision to run that week. Maybe SportsCenter bites another night, but when you're looking at, hey, it's all NFL draft all the time, I don't know that SportsCenter or whoever you're trying to get this out to, hoping they're going to pick it up, is going to give it that same attention that they would on a typical Thursday night. Not that there isn't a lot going on in sports these days anyway, with the NBA and the NHL playoffs, but I really questioned the decision to run it that night. That was kind of a mistake. But we got the opening, and the broadcast team to start with anyway was Josh Matthews and the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro. They went right to the first match, though. It was kind of nice to, I say nice that we go right to the opening match. What I'd like to see is them incorporate kind of the UFC style. I'm all for opening the show with a good quality match, but what I don't like is when it's just, here's two guys. If you know them, great. If you don't, oh well, we're not going to establish what their issues are or anything. And these are two baby faces. So what UFC does so well, right at the top of the show, is they give you just kind of those breakdown, those sit-down interviews where they go back and forth. I'd really like to see more of that in pro wrestling, not just in Impact. I wish WWE would kind of do the same thing, and I thought this was a good opportunity for that, where you show both guys kind of talking about the match they're about to have. What's at stake? What are they hoping to get out of it? Talk about their opponents, that sort of a thing. And instead, we just kind of go cold to the match. But it was a good one, and it was Matt Sydal defeating Eddie Edwards in 10:29. I'm using John Moore's report as an outline, as I usually do for this, so you can check that out at ProWrestling.net if you want to do the same. A little bit surprising to see Eddie Edwards lose just because they have invested a lot in him, but I think that's the idea, is to use some of the equity they've built up in Edwards, try to transition that to Matt Sydal, try to establish that, all right, this guy's a player. He just beat the former Impact Wrestling champion. Afterward, they ended up with Davey Richards attacking Eddie Edwards and then Alicia Edwards coming out and trying to save her husband. And I think we even found out that we're going to get that match, Alicia against Angelina Love. I believe it's on next week's show. The transition was well done. You just basically you had Josh Matthews setting up to transition to Mackenzie Mitchell, the backstage interviewer, and before that could happen, that's when Davey and Angelina ended up attacking Eddie on the ramp. And so it's little things like that that I appreciate, where all right, they could have just done it without any of that. They could have, oh, he's Eddie and his wife are waving from the stage, and they hold the camera shot longer than they would, and then you're not surprised when something happens because it just kind of takes you out. I'm like, why are they still on this? But they didn't. They were kind of transitioning away. So I like that nice little touch. I would say the downside of Edwards losing is only that, Davey Richards got roughed up by a couple of NFL players last week. Now Eddie loses to Sydal. And it does it. Obviously, the hope is that it elevates Matt Sydal in the eyes of Impact viewers, the wrestler formerly known as Evan Bourne. I guess what I fear, and I got into this in the hit list a little bit. I guess I just fear that it's another case of a kind of a classic TNA, if you will, where they're more excited about an incoming former WWE talent than they are their own top talent that doesn't have that WWE background. But only time will tell. I mean, if they're just genuinely excited about Sydal and want to elevate him, for who cares that he's been in WWE? They just think there's potential to do something with him here. Cool. But so good opening segment overall. They did go backstage after all was said and done to Mackenzie Mitchell, and she interviewed Magnus, who talked about facing Alberto El Patron in the future and his Global Force Wrestling Championship. He said that means he's already qualified to be in the main event of Slammiversary. And he said he won the eight-man tag match for Team Borash. That qualifies him for a spot in the main at Slammiversary. Eventually, Matt Morgan walked in, and he's kind of laughing at Magnus and said Magnus must be joking. He took exception to Magnus thinking that the Global Force Wrestling Championship puts him in line. I also said that Magnus is taking credit for something he didn't do because it was Morgan who set up the win for Team Borash by hitting the carbon footprint on Bram. And the two guys ended up bickering. Bruce Pritchard ends up entering the picture and tells Magnus that he was defending the Global Force Wrestling Championship against Morgan later in the show. And then Magnus argued to Pritchard that he can't because he's already defending his title next week. And so they're showing that Magnus is the heel here. He's trying to weasel out of this when Pritchard puts him on the spot. I mean, here's one of the issues I had with this show too, is that now this is fine if you do a little of this. There were way too many segments where you're announcing a match during the show. And I understand you want to have that sense that anything can happen at any given time, but I think you need to find a balance. I think that's the key. You can do segments like this one, and hey, wow, didn't expect to see that match tonight. That's cool. But Impact, the only thing I knew going into this show, and I'm not, following their Impact Wrestling website closely for their updates, or I don't see their Impact Wrestling Twitter feed throughout the day. So they might be doing extra things on social media. That's all well and good. But I know coming out of last week's show, the only thing I recall them advertising for this week is the women's championship match, the Sienna and Christina Von Erie match. That's not enough. When you're giving away some of the things they ended up announcing on this show, these are taped in advance. They know they're going to go with Sydal and Eddie Edwards. And maybe at the risk of perhaps missing something last week, I don't think I did. Why not tell viewers, hey, next week we are starting with this match? Make a big fuss out of it. Make it seem like you have to tune into the start of the show. I like when they've done that in the past. They haven't done it frequently enough. A match like this easily could have been something where you do this angle on this show, and it sets up something for next week instead. Same thing with what turned out to be another bigger match on this show, the main event of the show, Alberto El Patron and Eli Drake. That's something you could build out a week in advance. That was one of the things that they did so well last year. In 2016, Impact creatively, there were a lot of times where you knew not just one match, but multiple matches going into the next week. You looked forward to it, and they're not doing a great job of that thus far. Certainly on this show, that was one of the weaknesses. They went backstage. This was just in a room where KM, he's still just KM, not even Mr. KM like Mr. JL, he's just KM. He's Kevin Matthews, but they call him KM in Impact Wrestling. Horrible name, but I like what they're doing with him, I got to admit. There was just he was doing some stretching or some sit-ups, and there was a guy that entered the room, must have been like a janitor, who was sweeping up, and KM, once the janitor was done, ripped up a piece of paper and just threw it onto the ground and told the guy he missed something. And the guy was super nice about it. Oh, I'm sorry about that. And then when he went to leave, KM did it again, told him he missed something else. And at this point, the guy said that, that wasn't there 10 seconds ago. And that's when KM started barking at him and asking if he was calling him a liar. And the guy said, no, sir. And John points out that he quoted, KM quoted Biff from Back to the Future and telling him to make like a tree and get out of here. So, yeah, I mean, he's all out bully mode. And last week's was kind of campy in the restaurant, not as campy as the Braxton Sutter and, what's her name, Laurel Van Ness, the restaurant scene from a while back where it was like, this doesn't look like any restaurant ever. They at least had that part down, but, you know, he had KM freaking out, and everyone around him just seemed, well, business as usual. The audio track didn't change anything. It was kind of cheesy. Or this, I mean, it's just establishing who he is. He's a prick. He's a bully. So I think they're doing a nice job with this, and I like what we've had from out of all the new people, the Congo Kongs and the Reno Scums and just the various people who have shown up here on Impact recently. I think he's a guy who stands out as one of the more positive additions. I mean, certainly LAX does, the new members of LAX, but he's in that upper mix for sure. In the second match, it was the Global Force Women's Championship. Sienna defeated Christina Von Erie in about 4 minutes to become the new Global Force Women's Champion. Global Force all over this show. They've yet to really explain why this is happening. I can't say I understand why it's happening. I mean, I think they're just going to have a bunch of unification matches at Slammiversary. That appears to be the way, where this is going. One little thing. All right. I said, you know, I'm not going to, as an average viewer, I don't think they're paying close attention to the Impact website throughout the week and checking in for matches. So when I was talking about, you know, what you do on social media the day of the show, it matters, and they should do it, but I wouldn't announce matches that way consistently. I mean, I'd rather see it play out on television. I just think the average viewer out there is mostly watching the television show. They're not checking in for updates throughout the week. I really don't think it's that. I really just don't think there's a large percentage of the audience taking that approach. However, when you are putting Global Force Wrestling all over the show, and a good chunk of the audience may remember it from the last time they were on Impact, and they were heels, and they were run out of Impact Wrestling, run out of TNA at the time, that's their memory of it. And all of a sudden you start throwing all these different champions and everything. Update the Global Force Wrestling website, because I do think there's going to be people going, all right, what is this? I want to check this out. And they just do a quick Google search and they go to that website, and there's a few new things there, but it doesn't take you long down to get down the list to find out that, oh, this company hasn't run a real show in quite some time. So just a little thing there that I think the Global Force people could do something to update it. But, and somebody just explain why this is happening, why these people are all over the show with these championships. The broadcast team was talking briefly when they cut to Eli Drake confronting Bruce Pritchard, and he said that he's not mad that he's not one of Bruce's guys, and he pointed out how Matt Morgan and Alberto are walking around with the shots while Eli Drake is left high and dry. And Drake said that he's standing at your door and you can invite him in or stand at the peephole and wait until Drake leaves. All right. Drake threatened to beat Pritchard's fat keister And he said the only way he seemed to get things done around here is to interrupt people. And he said he was going to find a way to confront Alberto. Pritchard was kind of cocky, and I'm like, oh, God, he's not going to put his arm around him and talk down to him again like he did EC3 without getting his ass kicked, is he? Well, in this case, he had a good reason to. So if you want Alberto, just turn around. Because there was Alberto El Patron. And he went at Drake a little bit, and basically he was talking down to him, which is fine. He's the confident baby face in this case. You know, El Patron, that persona worked for him, and just said, you know, hey, if you wanted a match, all you had to do was ask, that sort of a thing. And they ended up announcing that as the main event for later in the show. So at least they're giving us some setup, but again, this is a match that I think, you know, Eli Drake's been kind of criminally underutilized by Jarrett and Mantel so far. I know there's more on the creative team, but I just kind of label it those two guys just to, I'm not going to run through the entire creative team every time I start talking about TNA or Impact Wrestling creative. But it was encouraging to see the way he was featured on this show. Because if for whatever reason they didn't get what they had, I think coming out of this show, they better have. I mean, he's a really good talker, and he ended up having a really good main event, too. Then we went to an ODB Make Impact Great Video Package. Matthews was bragging on commentary about getting rid of Jeremy Borash, and he was interrupted by a Bored AF sign that was held up by Borash behind him. So Borash is in the crowd holding up signs mocking Josh Matthews, mocking his mannerisms. Pope gave him a high five at one point. And Matthews would sell this. They did a good job of kind of toning that down. As much as I wish they would have just listened to the feedback coming out of the last tapings, which concluded with Josh's team losing and Josh supposedly being off of commentary, I thought that was a point where, hey, if the people dig it, let's keep going on with this. If they don't, and clearly, based on the feedback, they didn't, all right, this was our exit point. Josh Matthews is a good heel. I think you can do good things with Josh Matthews as a manager, and they should strongly consider that. But to just keep going with the bickering broadcast team members, I feel was a big mistake and stubborn. But having said that, they're kind of keeping them apart with this storyline. I don't like what this has done for Jeremy Borash either. He hasn't come off looking like, even though he's the babyface in this, there's also been petty moments between the two where it's like, just shut up. You know, you don't want the babyface getting as annoyed by the pest, Matthews in this case, as Borash does and kind of stooping to his level. And then you had Pritchard talking down to both of them at the same time during one of the segments. This was a few weeks ago that they did that. That was like to set up the draft. So it's been several weeks, but I don't think Borash is coming out of this looking great either, but at least they're kind of keeping them apart on air with this storyline that Borash has been suspended for 30 days. Coming out of a commercial break, Matt Sydal was interviewed, and he talked about how he was gunning for the fan favorite title. He talked about feeling the love and how he feels welcome, and he said you might be seeing the next X Division champion. And he said a normal man can't beat Low-Ki, but Sydal was going to find a way. They went to Karen Jarrett and her huge announcement. She said that, yes, Alicia Edwards will be making her Impact debut against Angelina Love next week. Sienna entered the picture, got in Karen's face, and boasted about winning the Global Force Championship. And Karen asked Sienna how it felt to have a target on her back because a lot of women backstage want that title. I'm sure they do. Sienna said she hopes that Karen lines them up so she could knock them down. Now, I like Sienna. I do. I haven't been as wowed by her as I had hoped to be when she, you know, just based on what we've seen in the ring so far. It's getting better. I kind of fear she won the championship more so they could keep her weird feud with Karen Jarrett going. It's a wrestler against a non-wrestler. Christina Von Erie, to me, if you're going to do, and maybe the idea is that they want to get the title off her and build long-term to this, but she just seems like a natural opponent for Rosemary. You know, she's almost in the same way that in NXT, Ruby Riott feels like a natural opponent for Nikki Cross. You know, there's just, you could see them teaming together if they wanted to take that approach too. There's similarities there, but, you know, when it comes to Rosemary and this over-the-top character she plays, Von Erie strikes me as one that well, you know, she'll go to the same, she'll sink to the same lows if she has to. She's not afraid to get her nose dirty and get in there with Rosemary and kind of beat her at her own game, sort of a thing. So I wasn't crazy about them taking the title off of her, especially when they just kind of established her, I think, last week. But maybe there's a long-term plan in place. But this Karen Jarrett and Sienna back and forth isn't really doing anything for me. The third match was EC3 squashing a guy named John Bolin in 232. Just a good showcase win for EC3. I don't mind the squash matches being back on Impact Wrestling. In this case, it was just a spotlight win for EC3. We got another example that we'll get to of a squash match in a little bit. We did get an EC3 promo afterward. And he actually said, take this overrated crap out of the ring. Like, who's overrating this guy? I didn't really get that one, but otherwise it was a fine promo. He did a good job. More of Borash taunting Josh Matthews from behind the barricade. And after their little back and forth, they went to commercial. And then in the fourth match, it was Magnus defeating Matt Morgan by pin in 9-10 to retain the Global Force Championship. Again, this is one I would have built up to, and I don't like what they do with Matt Morgan. You know, he's back as a babyface again, and that's okay. You look at what they're doing with Congo Kong, and I just can't help but wonder why no one in Impact has ever seemed to really do this with Matt Morgan, where he's just destroying people. He comes in hot, he's destroying, they can be squash matches. But, I mean, this is a guy who is roughly 7 foot tall. Because of the style that he works, he kind of loses that, and you forget. As crazy as it sounds, he just doesn't feel like he's as big as he is when he's in there doing, working the same style as everyone else. I'd love to see somebody bring in Matt Morgan and give him a Sid Vicious style buildup where he's just destroying jobbers and looking so dominant, and then you set him up to take the fall. I mean, if things click really well, it can be more than that, but build him up for a big showdown match with a Lashley or an EC3, or I guess more likely Alberto, because he's kind of the top baby face that you could see, kind of slaying that dragon. But you just set him up in a way where it feels like it's a big deal, where right now Morgan's just kind of another guy on the roster already, and unfortunately, especially after losing to Magnus. Now, it was a cheap finish. There was a low blow, and Magnus won that way, so they can go back to this. But the idea is now Magnus, because he won this match, will defend his championship against Alberto El Patron on next week's show. Coming out of a commercial, we ended up with the latest Veterans of War video, just Mayweather and Wilcox just kind of talking about how Veterans of War is not just a name, it's who they are, that sort of a thing. And they're looking for the Impact Wrestling tag titles. Mackenzie Mitchell spoke with Lashley, and he kind of, he said Global Force, the Global Force Wrestling Championship means nothing to him. And I thought, you and everyone else. He just kind of mocked the idea of some of these Global Force guys being there. So I don't know if the idea is that one of them is going to beat him. I don't know. Josh Matthews was still being pestered by Borash. They cut to an LAX clubhouse video. This was more of the same. They really didn't have anything in particular to discuss. It was not like there's an obvious next match, so they were just kind of celebrating their win, I think, over Decay, essentially. We got Making Impact Great video from James Storm. Then we got a Rockstar Spud video, and he teased how this could be the end of his career. He was actually like, he had pain pill bottles with him, and he said he cries himself to sleep and takes 4 painkillers in the morning just to use the restroom, and it's because Swoggle hit him with a hammer on last week's show, and he actually, why me? I didn't mean to pull his pants down. I don't know if this was supposed to be funny, serious. I mean, the pants pulling line was just like, okay, bizarre, but I still feel like Spud is being criminally wasted. Talented guy. You go back to that program he had with EC3, and it was one of the best we've seen in Impact Wrestling, and it's kind of a shame that he's just been, I've said this before, but I think as much as I praised 2016 Impact Wrestling, TNA, they didn't get anything out of Spud, and that was always a disappointment. So I really liked the product, but I just felt like their use of Spud was so minimal, and he meant nothing. And now it's like he's on the show feuding with Swoggle, and I guess Swoggle's the heel now because he hit him with the hammer. Is there criminal charges coming in the Impact Wrestling storyline world? I don't know. Then it was time for Congo Kong with Laurel Van Ness to destroy William Weeks. William Weeks, looks like the name sounds. He just was your, I like to talk. There's enhancement wrestlers and then there's jobbers. William Weeks is a jobber, much like James Ellsworth, and God bless him for it. The world needs more jobbers. But Congo looked very impressive here. Laurel Van Ness more animated than usual, still doing the wedding dress gimmick. Then Braxton Sutter came out with Allie, and Allie still doesn't get to talk, which is what made her character. Now she's just Braxton's girlfriend. That's been a big disappointment. He ended up Braxton clotheslined Kong over the top rope, but Congo landed on his feet. And so they're doing a good job of making Congo Kong just kind of like I talked about with what I'd like to see them do with Matt Morgan. I think there's more upside there for a big showdown match than there is with Congo, but they're doing a good job with Congo Kong. I don't know if he, like I say, he's not necessarily the guy I would have in this role, but for what it is, I think they're doing a fine job with it. Then we ended up with a video where I it didn't bother me, but I just wonder how many people out there were like squeamish watching this, going, you know, a warning would have been nice because he suffered like this. I don't know, some a really nasty eye injury where the eye was all puffed out, and all you get to see them draining the fluid from his eye, like poking it with a needle. I'm like, really? Why are you showing me this? But and I'm not even squeamish. It just kind of like, I don't need to see this, but I wasn't like getting sick to my stomach, as I'm guessing there probably were a few people out there who were. He talked about how he wants to win. He wanted his son to see him win the X Division Championship. They would cut to Low Ki, and what happened was Low Ki, I think it was the 4-man drop kick spot, and I think Low Ki in the process, his knee accidentally came down on the Eye of Dud, and I think that's what caused it. And Loki was kind of remorseful there, but he also talked about how he's known Sanjay for a long time and he respects him, but he's a guy who just doesn't win the big one. So it looks like they're building up to Sanjay coming back to overcome the injury to face Loki and maybe eventually win the big one, because he's never, all the time he's been in Impact, he's never won that championship. And then it was main event time. It was Alberto El Patron defeating Eli Drake in a good competitive match to become number one contender to the Global Force Championship. So next week's main event will be Alberto challenging Magnus. But this was very entertaining. Eli Drake, th this felt like a main event. Eli Drake looks the part. He talks the part. I mean, he's a great talker. And this was certainly the best he's looked in the ring since the new regime took over. So it's the best he's been in the ring really in 2017. And I'm kind of struggling to think of another match where he shined like this. And so I just, a lot of the credit goes to him. I assume you give some to Alberto as well for just being as good as he is. But they had a good, strong television main event. It was, would it be pay-per-view main event worthy? Not necessarily, because the stakes didn't feel high, but maybe if there was a title at stake, this is something you go to, and this same match just feels that much more intense. The near falls feel like they're more meaningful because there's something on the line other than Global Force Wrestling's number one contendership. But I did think it was a really good main event, better than I expected it to be. And I thought, again, this is one where Impact Wrestling Management, if they didn't see Drake as a player before, they better start. I mean, I haven't understood what they've done with him since they started, but since they, this new regime took over. But hopefully this is a sign that that they're starting to get it, because man, this guy can talk, and now we're seeing that he can go in the ring. So a good main event to close the show, a good bookend show. It's a good opening match, a good close to the show, and so again, just I'd like to see them do a better job of actually promoting a week in advance. But they did that for next week's show. At least we know the main event again, with Alberto challenging Magnus for that Global Force Wrestling Championship. Now I just wish they'd explain what the hell Global Force Wrestling is, why we should be excited about it, why their champions are all over television. Why is this all happening? Please enlighten us. Have it, you take what stop with one of the segments that you dedicate to having the broadcast team members bicker, or in this case, Borash pestering Matthews. Eliminate that and start explaining things a little bit better, because it is just a little too chaotic. There are way too many title belts around, and like I said, I think they're building up to unification matches, but I don't know that anyone cares about the Global Force titles. So do your best to make them, and I don't. It's we don't have. We still have a couple of months before Slammiversary. I guess, I mean, if you're, I just would like to see them try to make people actually feel like those belts have some meaning, and they're really not right now. They're just throwing them out there and acting like we should all know what they are and be excited about that, about seeing these championships defended. And I just don't know that the average viewer is. But that's going to do it for today, everybody. Take a moment, subscribe to our daily podcast while you're doing that. Hey, swing on over and do the same for JR. Rate and review both podcasts. He made the personal request that I send that message out, and so I am. But be sure to check out the Ross Report podcast at Podcast One. A big thanks to Jim for having me on that show again. Always a pleasure to do that. But yeah, take a moment, rate and review our respective podcasts. It'll only take a couple minutes of your day and would help both podcasts out tremendously. We would really appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I will talk to you again on Monday. Take care.